Hey, welcome back to the Bird Gang Podcast. We're dropping like flies out here. Ty had to drop out. His wife's having a baby, yada yada. But, you know, his wife was prioritizing their life. Not in a bad way, but having a kid, he doesn't think he'll have enough time to keep up with us. And that's why we had to push back the day a little bit. So this will be the two episodes we promised we'd have all in one. So it'll be a little longer, hour and a half, 2 hour episode. But Marlon and Big Ty are still here.
Woohoo!
Whoop whoop!
Yeah!
Woohoo!
You got the bigger, better Ty.
Yeah, see, we still got the crew, and we got a bunch of animals in the house, so you might hear a bark. You might hear a cat.
I brought my puppy.
You might hear a cat scream, but
I'm being attacked by a
tiny
golden
dog.
Retriever.
By an 11-week-old golden retriever.
All right, boys. First week of Cardinals training camp is over. Technically, there's a football game tonight, but
yeah, that's not a football game.
It's not much of a football game. I doubt starters even played. But yeah, that's starting. When's preseason? A week, 2 weeks?
I think it's 2 weeks.
Yeah, something.
It's still going to be super boring. The Cardinals aren't going to.
No, there's even talks that Larry Fitz is even going to play unless he absolutely insists that he wants to.
He shouldn't.
Why would he want to?
And even if he does, it'll be like one series a game and that's it.
Yeah, it'd be like Larry run a slant and then be done.
Run a slant, we're going to throw it to the other side of the field.
Yeah, just get your reps in. No. But yeah, that'll be fun when it finally gets going. But
Chargers is the 8th, so it's just next upcoming
year. Yeah, I was gonna say it was in.
I bought tickets to that game.
Yeah, tickets are $3.
I got them for like $6 after all the
stupid fees.
Fees and stuff, $6.
I know, we thought about going.
I'm still looking into it. I want better seats just because they're both my team. I grew up loving the Chargers. And so, yeah, we'll see.
I think I saw first row, not first row, but first level seats for like 2016.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
The closer you get to the game, someone will try and give them away. That's what I'm.
Right. I know I wanted to go, but you'd just be seeing third stringers mostly. So it was like, do I really want to watch Kyler Murray hand it off twice and then call it a day?
I just want to see how much taller I am than him.
Yeah, he's all a bit of 5'10".
Bring a
he's
tape measure.
Every bit of 5'10".
But no, it'll be good. I'm excited because I mean Chargers got some weapons too.
Yeah, we'll get into them.
We'll see if they have some weapons or not.
Sorry, I'm trying to pull up this tweet. All right, so yeah, we will get into some Cardinals news, just some thoughts and stuff from the first week of training camp. And then we're going to get into our division breakdowns. I know there's not a whole bunch to talk about the Cardinals right now, so we're going to be talking about a lot of other teams. And we're going to start with the NFC West after we do some Cardinals stuff. but I just wanted to – we haven't had this talk yet. Would Josh Rosen be just – would he be fine in this offense with Cliff Kingsbury and the same weapons? Like we didn't have – if we went out, got like a – like a offensive lineman in the first round. Would we have been just as fine, or are we better off with Kyler Murray?
I think you need a Kyler Murray. I think you need that bigger, or not the bigger, but I think you need that faster quarterback who can, you know, has the more athletic than a Josh Rosen. I think not that he wasn't, but I think Kyler Murray definitely brings a lot more to the table that, in terms of athleticism, and not to mention this offense was tailor-made for Kyler.
Right.
You know, he's been basically running this for the last, you know, couple of years, and I think a lot of even the verbiage that they say is being used is the same, with some tweaks here and there. But I think that I don't think anyone can run this offense as good as Kyler Murray. I mean, Josh Rosen's a very cerebral player, is a very smart player, but I don't think he has the leadership skills, one, to do it, and I don't think he's athletic enough to do it.
Right, because you hear all these vets and Larry especially coming out and saying, just, man, Josh Rosen, Kyler Murray's just taken over this offense. He's in such command of this offense. He gets it. He's just knows the playbook. He's known how to be a leader already. And nobody, I don't think anybody said that about Josh Rosen as last year.
No,
I just heard a bunch
they're,
of.
They're completely surrounding this kid. They love him. They're lifting him up. And you weren't getting that. I mean, with Rosen last year, they were all, this kid's, you know, got these kind of issues. He's got some leadership issues. And granted, he wasn't the start. You know, last year, Rosen wasn't supposed to play. We were still watching the, what's his name?
Sam Bradford
train wreck that we paid him that way was too his much money.
Career.
So, I mean, it was easy to kind of sit back and be like, oh, this new guy we got, it's not much of anything, but I don't think that Rosen could have handled this offense.
No way.
And I don't think there ever was intention for him to.
No, yeah. Kyler's way more dynamic of a player. He's got a bigger arm. He can move. That's definitely gonna add to this air raid offense and gonna open things up for DJ and Kirk. Let me get my cat. Marlon, you talk.
One thing that I'm really excited about that was talked about in training camp is that the defense is really meshed together. They were talking about Suggs taking knees with some of the other linebackers and just, you know, kind of talking things over and how they were really just kind of like kind of having little like powwows off the thing and watching how the offense was moving and stuff. And I think that's really important, especially with like Terrell Suggs being such a veteran and being such a player in that huddle, you know, to see guys like that kind of molding these other, you know, younger players. It's going to be huge in our defense, you know, just having that, you know, if Terrell Suggs came up to either one of us and said, hey, I believe that you can do this. You know, I believe you can run through a brick wall. You're going to go
like,
run.
I'm going to go try.
You're going to go run through a brick wall.
Test it out.
Right. So I don't know. I think that's huge. Having a guy like that in the defense. I'm really excited for our defense.
Yeah. Definitely. There's a bunch of young guys on the team too. So, all these vets, like Suggs, Larry, A.Q. Shipley on the offensive line, they're going to bring a lot in terms of bringing up these young rookies and young players because the Cardinals are a few years out. Like, they're definitely going to get better and better as the season goes, but I think they're still at least 2 years away from being really competitive, I think. As soon, like, Marlon might have hit on Keyshawn Johnson being the breakout rookie because he's taking first-team snaps and people are buzzing over him. So, like, even just, like, two of these receivers hit, where it might be sooner than 2 years. We might be able to be competitive next year if we get these young guys to
I'll tell you what, we're either going to be super competitive or we're going to just burn the season down. It's one or the other. I don't think there's any middle. I think we're betting it all on red here. You know, it's either we're going to kind of it'll be a 3-13 season or it'll be the exact opposite, and we have, you know, we're not even prepared for that. But I'm really excited for the 1-2 punch that is Suggs and Jones.
Right,
those two are dynamic together. Are going to be dynamic together, and I don't think Jones gets the recognition that he deserves.
Oh, no way.
I mean, on the bright side, if we do have a super crappy season, we do get a high draft pick next season. So the next draft season is going to be incredible. There's some great athletes coming out.
Yeah.
Of college this year, so
right,
it's a win-win either way.
But yeah, is it possible to lead the league in scoring and still have a losing record? Like, I feel like that's probably what's going to happen to the Cardinals. Like, if their defense isn't as great as we want it to be, their offense, I think, is and just going to be amazing no matter what.
Let's leave the tanking to Miami over there with Josh Rosen.
No, it's Ryan Fitzpatrick now. They came out and said he's QB1 for now, which I love. I love Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, but Fitz shows up. That's the thing. Fitz has that Fitz magic that he comes up with, and you want to talk about the smartest guy in the league, dude. If their game plan is to in fact tank, I don't know that that's the right guy to do it.
Cause, yeah, he'll either win you three games or he'll lose you three games.
Yeah.
he's awesome. He's good.
We all went to the same high school.
Yeah, same. We went to high school.
I grew up at their house. You know, the Fitzpatricks, his little brother and me were great friends and played football together. And so, yeah, Ryan, I knew Ryan before he even went to Harvard. So, yeah, he was a cool guy, smart guy back then, smarter guy now. But
yeah. You know, we'll talk more about him when we do the AFC East. But I went to the first day of training camp. And I just wrote down some things or tweeted some things. Anything Kyler does, just people cheer. Everyone's buzzing around Kyler Murray. They ran a read option, and he kept it, and just like he had all the safeties beat. He burned the safeties. Everyone's going nuts. He just scored like a playoff touchdown. And then Brett Hundley does the same thing, and it's like a little couple claps here and there. But like, I just thought it was funny because Brett Hundley was like, "Yeah, I'm not gonna give it up easy."
Yeah.
It's like, okay, sure thing.
It's my favorite quote of the year.
Right. And another thing I saw was running backs and individual drills caught more balls than the receivers. Like all the receivers were just running routes with no balls, and then the running backs were just getting balls hucked at them the whole time. So I think that that definitely is David Johnson's game right there. And I think Chase Edmonds, too, he's going to play a big role. So they might be doing two running backs and three receivers and a tight end. So.
When everyone was losing their mind over that one-handed catch Fitz had.
I watched that live. It was incredible.
Yeah, that was
awesome.
That was pretty incredible. It was a good toss, and it was an amazing snag.
It was a snag. Larry's being Larry. And then Kyler, he looks good in the pocket. He throws comfortably. He's not he doesn't seem skimmish or squirmy in the pocket. He sits back. It's going to be a long, drawn-out offense, I think. He's going to need a lot of time to throw. Just hope that O-line can freaking step up and not be bad. And then Kevin White, and I saw Hakeem Butler was running first-team drills. But Keyshawn Johnson's taken over that. But I still think Kevin White's going to get cut, so I don't think he's going to make the team. They're going to keep some of those younger guys, and they already have Larry as that vet receiver, so he can be the
Did you? You said guy. You went to day one?
Yeah.
You see Kim Dichi down there?
I don't think so.
Oh. I want to see how fat he actually was. I'd been
trying. Oh, Kim Dichi, yeah.
Over Kim Dichi.
No, I don't even know who he was. He's
biggest waste, dude.
Huge waste. That was the worst draft, I think, of all time. I saw it. I was like, after that 2015 team, we do this? After that awesome run in 15?
I mean, he could have been great. I mean, the thought on behind getting him was he was going to be a next Tyrann Mathieu, you know, just kind of a, well, we can prove that, you know, the guy with kind of a
little shady
past, yeah. And you know we can do that, you know, but this dude, I don't even think this dude likes to play football, honestly.
No, he got his paycheck.
They have him listed at 293, and I think he showed up to camp this year at over 350.
Oh,
I mean, he's coming off an injury, but still.
Right, it's just such a waste. If I would kill to have half that talent, and then just make up for it with quality work, and you're gonna be a star, but it's whatever. All right, whoever number six is, he's like the fourth string quarterback, has the biggest bum of an arm I've ever seen. Everything's just a rainbow. He throws like 15 yard outs and it's just floating over there. I was like, dude, I can freaking throw that. Who are they signing? They're just getting community college kids off the street. But I thought that was funny.
So who is it?
I totally forgot his name.
He's a practice kid. He's not
No, he's like the fourth string quarterback.
Yeah.
And then Byron Murphy played for Patrick Peterson on the second team. Obviously, Patrick's out for six games, so Byron Murphy's definitely going to step up. I saw something about Kingcliff said that he's going to have to grow up real quick because he's taking a PP spot for those 6 weeks, and then hopefully he can earn a spot at cornerback, the second cornerback spot, once PP comes back. Right, Marlon?
Right.
I think that's one that's not going to be given up easily. I mean,
no.
I mean, it's going to be hard to beat out Patrick Peterson. But,
oh, I don't think he will. I think he could get that second spot.
But at the same time, when you're coming in and you've played the first six games, you know, and
right.
You're hungry, yeah, I think totally. And he's a good enough talent. I mean, no one's Patrick Peterson.
No.
Unfortunately, but I mean, there's a reason why we used to have the dude returning our kickoffs and stuff when he was a rookie.
Right.
He was athletic.
Right. Well, speaking of, Christian Kirk, Cooper Farrow, and Andy Isabella were returning kicks and punts. I think Isabella's going to be sweet out there. I don't like Christian Kirk doing that because I know he's going to have a big season, especially early in the year. I don't want him to do it. He's coming off that broken foot. But if, like, things get tight, you could definitely see Kirk doing it.
I could see Isabella doing that.
Oh, I like Isabella doing
that. He's really explosive. He's really good at getting down low. And
he ran like a 4.3.
Yeah.
Little white guy.
Yeah, what? Super explosive.
Yeah. He'd be fun back there. A.Q. Shipley was first team center. I just think they need that vet offensive lineman to...
that's actually a pretty close race, though.
Oh, yeah. It's not... I think Kingsbury said it's going to be 1-2 until there's a clear winner. Doesn't matter how long it takes into the season.
Yeah.
They'll be sharing reps.
Yeah, I mean, Shipley's obviously got the experience, but from what I've kind of gathered with that is he's just barely holding on to that.
Right, and he's coming off an ACL too.
Mm-hmm.
No surprise, King Cliff, he worked with the QBs in individual drills. He was a quarterback in college. So none of that. Lots of shotgun. I don't think Kyler was under center once. Jones and Suggs are best buddies. I saw them clowning around in the sideline, just throwing stuff at each other. So they're going to be fun to watch. I'm really excited to see Jones finally just like step out, be that superstar that he definitely can be, and he has been. But nobody realized that because he's such a small market team.
No, he didn't even make the top 100.
I know.
ESPN.
That was the biggest load. That was the dumbest list I've ever seen.
Stupid.
It was so stupid. Drew Brees was the second best player in the league.
I don't. Yeah.
Not even close. Patrick Mahomes wasn't even number one. Like, he's by far, I think, definitely the best player in the league. And then Larry still got it. That was my final note. Because I just watched him catch that ball. That one-handed catch, I was like, shoo. He's still here. He's got it. Anyway. Any other news, stuff you've noticed, things you've been keeping up with?
Jones had 13 sacks last season, which was tied for 8th in the league.
Right.
And he had 17 sacks the year before.
Yeah, I'd say 13 was the down year.
But he's left off the top 100.
Right. It's such a...
He might need to double those.
Oh, yeah. I think he definitely has the potential to get 19, 20 sacks, yeah. Especially with Suggs in the middle now. That'll definitely help him out.
Well, what I worry about is with those two guys... they play really explosive defense, and I want that big hit you in the mouth defense that I know they can be. And what I'm worried about is how long our defense is going to be on the field.
Right.
With this, I mean, obviously, if we're converting first downs and we're scoring points, and then that's great. We can do with that 15 second offense that they've been hinting at, that fast paced offense, but. I'm just really worried about if we don't, and we're just a bunch of, we rush the clock and then we're a bunch of three and outs, like our defense is going to be just dead.
To be gassed.
You have to have a lot of depth on your defense to do it, to mm-hmm. throw, no matter how good of shape they're in, you're going to have to be able to rotate players in and out. And I just don't think the depth chart is that deep either.
No, especially on our D line, we got nothing, you know?
Right. Now, especially now that homie's gone. Oh, geez.
Kim Dichi,
yeah, homeboy. And then
he wasn't.
He wasn't gonna play anyway, but he was still a body. I think they just signed a linebacker. They just signed a linebacker to add some depth. So hopefully that'll roll.
Well, they got a D tackle, Filon from the Chargers. He's gonna be a pretty strong dude up front.
Yeah, I'm sure we got the pieces to make it work. I think I think we're counting on a lot of players to hit to have like a really special season. Like, even just to be 500, I think we still need two receivers to hit. We need Byron Murphy to hit. We need Buda Baker to step out. We need Hassan Reddick to finally break out and be a number one draft pick. Yeah, we're just counting a lot of players. We're counting on Terrell Suggs to not slow down, Larry Fitzgerald to not slow down. So, I don't know. It'll be good. I think we're just rebuilding. It's definitely rebuilding, but I think every game's going to be pretty competitive. I think every game's going to be a shootout. It's going to be at least 30 points a game. I think you can definitely average 30 points a game and still not do that well.
Yeah, what I'm worried about, though, especially with his college resume, mm-hmm. at Kingsbury, is, yeah, he put up 30, 40, 50 points a game, but he also gave up 30, 40, 50 points a game. So I'm really hoping that, you know, our new DC, Vance Joseph, he's going to have some, you know, really good insight to how to work, to be the other half of that. So,
right. And I think it was 2016 when, Tech came and played ASU. I was at that game. That was mm-hmm. the craziest game. It was no defense. Everyone just throwing the ball around. It was like 60 to 50.
I was at that game too.
It was like incredible.
60 points each.
Every other play was a touchdown.
Every other play. Mahomes threw like 500 yards.
Well, that's the one that
it was crazy.
That what's his name?
Kalen Ballage.
Kalen Ballage had like 8 touchdowns.
Yeah.
He broke the Pac-12 or tied the Pac-12 record.
Yeah. He's taking first team snaps too down in Miami. I saw that.
Well, we got DJ Foster too over here.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that kid. That kid.
He was good.
Since that kid played at Saguaro, I've loved watching him run, DJ Foster, and then through ASU, and just he stayed local, and I got mad respect for that kid.
I went on a recruiting trip when I was a senior in high school to ASU, and DJ Foster was the one assigned to our group carrying us around.
Yeah,
and
you'd show me
so they kind of used him as like the bait for like 4 or 5 of us that were there, and they're like kind of taking us a tour, and DJ Foster is hanging out with us. He's such a cool guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
I bet.
He's another one I'd love to see succeed on this offense. I mean, he's obviously not going to be a first team anything, but I'd love to see him get some reps on this offense.
He could definitely get some, especially if like Chase Edmonds goes down, and you could see him in the return game. You see him catching passes. I think they might be able to convert him to like a slot guy.
Yeah, because he's lights out in the slot.
Yeah, he's solid. I think they got enough depth on offense to really be as good as they want to be in the air raid. But I think just defense is that weak point we all hope too high for. But
yeah.
I mean, there's a lot there, definitely in the future.
Problem is DJ Foster's not much taller, not much bigger than Murphy, and I don't think he's as fast.
I have a picture with him, and I'm just as tall as he is.
I think he's 5'11" is what he's listed at.
He's a running back. Running backs are.
I understand. Or
he's smaller.
I know.
He's too small to be a running back, though.
Yeah.
He was like a 175 and at ASU.
Yeah. I think he's pushing 2 bills now.
Say he looked thick.
Yeah.
He looked big. All right, boys. Well, let's get into the NFC West. We'll do a little division breakdown. We'll do some fantasy football. I don't know if you guys did record predictions with your teams.
I did for my original ones.
Yeah. Well, we're going to do a lot more of that later. I think preseason week 3, we're going to do a whole league. Just we're going to pick records, pick division winners, pick like wild card and stuff and playoff. We'll do like a March Madness bracket. With the playoffs, so that'll be fun. So we won't worry too much about records, or we'll just talk a little bit about the teams. And then, hey, Bird Gang, sorry to interrupt. Just got to introduce our newest sponsor, HydroFix. HydroFix IV is a mobile IV service offering vitamin and electrolyte-rich IV therapy in the comfort of your own home. They provide IVs that treat everything from hangovers, migraines, dehydration, and everyday fatigue. They even have ones that boost athletic performance and help give you that extra edge. Mention Bird Gang and receive a free B12 injection with your IV purchase. Remember, mention Bird Gang, get a free B12 IV injection. Check them out on their website, HydroFix IV, and Instagram under the same name. All right, let's get back to it. We will start with Marlon.
All right,
unless you're not ready.
No, I'm good. What division are we starting with?
NFC West.
NFC West.
NFC West.
The one that matters.
So I was given the Seahawks. I wasn't too happy about
Random
that.
Random draw, I swear.
Not a big fan of the Seahawks. Never have, never will.
I'm really happy I didn't get the Seahawks.
But, I mean, there is a lot on them. So the first thing I've noticed was ever since they had Russell Wilson, they've never had a losing season.
Yeah.
So with Russell Wilson, they've always won at least 8 games. I think they've always won 9 games with Russell Wilson. But I think that's going to change this season. I predicted them at 7-9. But some of their hot players on fantasy football, their defense is the 27th defense in the league ranked on fantasy football, so that's pretty low.
Yeah, I don't even touch it.
Jared Reed, he's the defensive tackle, suspended for the first 6 games. So, I mean, that's not going to be fun. But they have Bobby Wagner as the linebacker, who's looking pretty good for
them. He just got a huge contract. He's the highest paid linebacker ever. He's probably one of the greatest linebackers to ever play, though.
Yeah, so he's going to be a good side on that side of the field. But for fantasy football-wise, on the offense, Russell Wilson, I think this is kind of low for him. But they said he's the 19th. I think he's a little bit better than that, but I could be wrong. I don't know.
Well, I think it's mostly because he doesn't have anybody to throw the ball to. Like, DK Metcalf's going to be his best receiver, and he's a rookie. He's not that special. So I think that's the only reason why.
Yeah.
But I think 19's low because, like, quarterbacks who can move and stuff are usually a lot higher.
Well, especially for always having a winning season in the NFL. You think it would be kind of higher than that, but he's put at 19. I did have DK Metcalf. I couldn't find where he was on fantasy football.
He's a rookie.
Yeah, he's a rookie, so I didn't have any predictions for him. But I did see that he is working out with the first team, obviously.
Yeah.
And that dude is massive.
He is a giant man, though.
Massive.
He's huge.
Some other hot picks for the Seattle Seahawks. Tyler Lockett. He's going to be a pretty good receiver. He's placed at number 10.
Yeah, so he'd be their number one.
Yeah, and then they have a David Moore. He's way down at 84th. So there's kind of a big gap between that, 10th in the league to 84th in the league. So
right.
Their running back, Chris Carson, he's placed number 10 also. So he, is a decent pick if you're...
He'll be their running back one for sure.
Yeah,
so he's,
definitely for sure.
I definitely think he's worth, what is that, second round probably? Second, third round? I'd go for it. I think they're going to have to run the ball more than they used to.
Depending on your roster for fantasy football, if you only have one running back, if you have two running backs, maybe he'll be your second one picked. But if you only have one, he'll definitely be a bench player somewhere.
I think most of them are two running backs.
Yeah, so. But that's what I got on the Seattle Seahawks. I think they're going to go for their first losing season with Russell Wilson.
I'm with you on that one, too.
They got some good teams. I don't think they're as good as they used to. They lost a lot of players.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think they're the team they were last year or the year before that.
No, they're nowhere near where they were with the Legion of Boom and those 2 Super Bowl runs. They're not even close. I used to love Russell Wilson until he came out with that Instagram video of announcing his new contract, and he goes by Russell now. So I'm all the way off on Russell Wilson.
Like, hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey.
Go Hawks. I'll say, all right, I'm off.
Yeah, that was lame.
Yeah,
I got my stuff. Now I'm making $100 million or whatever it was.
Right. Now we about to do something. I was like, All right, Russell, I'm out. I thought he was fun to watch.
He's definitely
But now I'm cheering against him.
When Kyler Murray does come up, I hear a lot about, well, Russell Wilson's the same height, blah blah blah.
Well, he is the comp.
They'd be similar, yeah.
He's the comp. I mean, there's no one else to comp Kyler Murray to.
Kyler Murray has a way better arm, way faster.
Oh, absolutely.
I'd take Kyler Murray over Russell Wilson.
I think most would, but
yeah.
But Russell Wilson laid the groundwork that anyone could even that small be.
Right.
Somebody that.
A very good quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, there's not that many. There's Drew Brees is small. Michael Vick, he wasn't that tall. But I hear a lot of Michael Vick, Kyler Murray.
Yeah,
comparison.
That's who
he said he wants.
That's who he comp. That's who his comp is. Too,
yeah,
because he the way they move, but no one had ever seen Michael Vick.
Michael Vick came out of nowhere. Nobody's ever seen Michael Vick.
I hated watching Michael Vick hold the ball when he ran.
Oh, it's.
I mean,
101.
Whoever the 4 or 5 people that listen to this podcast are gonna figure out that I watch football from a defensive perspective. I don't care how many points were scored. I want a goose egg on my team. I want 0 points scored. But like, I watch everything from a defensive perspective. So when I watch Michael Vick hold the ball with an open hand, one-handed, I'm just like, rip it out.
Get it.
Like I was just like, don't tackle him. You can't tackle him. Just rip the ball just out of his hand.
Go for the ball.
Yeah. You're going to miss it anyway. It drove me nuts. I mean, there's nothing I could have done differently, but it just drove me nuts to watch him run with the ball.
I hope Kyler Murray has good ball control. Ball security.
Mm. Ball security is job security.
That's right. All right. I can go next. I got the 49ers. I'm really high on the 49ers.
Of course, you get the good team.
I could have taken the Cardinals if I wanted to. I made it fair. Hey, watch your mouth.
Yeah, we'll see the other teams.
I'm
going to
make sure
about.
You get the Dolphins when we do the AFC.
Take
East.
The Dolphins or the teams I got.
Say, Dolphins are easy. they're going to lose games. So.
Right. No, yeah, I had the 49ers. I think they're going to go about 10-6. I think all things going super well, they'd be a really good 10-6 team. Kyle Shanahan, I think he's just an elite coach. He coached that Falcons team to a Super Bowl. I think that year Matt Ryan just broke records on records on records. So, and then Matt Ryan, he obviously hasn't been the same since then. Like, he got that huge contract, and then Kyle Shanahan got that job in San Francisco. And then, like, you don't hear too much about Matt Ryan anymore. He's still, like, pretty good, but that system isn't the same, even though they have pretty much the same offense. I think they ended up, like, top 10 in offense, even with, like, three different quarterbacks, because Jimmy G went down with an ACL, and then they had, like, C.J. Beathard and Nick Mullins fill in for a while, and they still put up a lot of points. Mm-hmm. They just couldn't win any games. I think they have a good offense. They have a very crowded backfield with Jerick McKinnon, Tevin Coleman, and Matt Breida. So, like, fantasy-wise, I probably wouldn't take any of them. What I had is Matt Breida's going in the 12th round, pick 7. He had a really good year last year, so I don't know why he's not going to be. I don't think there's no reason he's not going to be a good running back. So he's definitely somebody I'd keep an eye on in the waivers. I wouldn't draft him right away, but he's somebody you could definitely pick up. Jerick McKinnon's going in the 11th round. I think he'll definitely be the starting running back, at least number 2 for this team. So he's definitely somebody to target. And then who's my other guy? Tevin Coleman. He worked with Kyle Shanahan in Atlanta. And right now Coleman's going at 5-6 in the 5th round. I wouldn't touch that because he hadn't had too many good years. Sorry, Marlon's dog is pooping on my floor currently. Oh, waffle.
Good job, buddy.
Anyway, yeah, so if Tevin Coleman slides to
the
6th round.
That's what he thinks about their offense.
Yeah, I get it. There's wipes in there. Better go use them, boy.
Oh, that's huge.
No, yeah, I just think the 49ers' backfield's too crowded to take a chance with any of those running backs. But Jimmy G, yeah, I don't know if you want to take a chance on Jimmy G. He's like the 22nd quarterback. But they do have some good receivers. Dante Pettis he's going to be their number one receiver. He's going in the 7th round. And I would attack that. I would definitely draft Dennis Pitta. Or Dante Pettis, sorry.
She's still pooping.
Dennis Pitta's a tight end from years ago.
What is she doing?
That dog, dude. He'll definitely be the number one. He averaged 17.3 yards a catch in the NFL. I don't think he played every game. Other guys, they have Marquise Goodwin. He's going to 13th round. He's a burner. He's just going to score touchdowns. He's just going to go over the top, so he's not going to get that many catches. And then, of course, they have George Kittle, probably definitely one of the best. He was the top 2 tight end last year. I think tight ends are my favorite position groups because they're, like, cool wide receivers. Or they're, like, not diva wide receivers. They're cool offensive linemen. He's going in the 3rd round. If you really want a tight end, I'd go with him over Travis Kelce, who's going in like the 2nd round. I think he'll still have a good season, so I would definitely take a shot at George Kittle in the 3rd round. Especially that healthy Jimmy G, and they'll finally have a good quarterback. So yeah, I think I had the 49ers are going to win the division at 10-6. I think it'll be kind of murky in the middle, and then, we'll go tie with the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, I get the team that we talk the most about and that nobody knows anything about, so it was a lot of fun.
Right.
Doing, you know, I was kind of doing some research on these guys, trying to figure out what everyone else is trying to figure out. But the Cardinals, so offense is going to be what they're calling the K-Raid. And really fast-paced, 15 seconds play, which with that kind of experimental kind of college-style adapted to the pro level, it's going to – it's proven, like with Chip Kelly's, when he kind of tried to do it, it did not win football games. You know, they about ran him out of town in Philly, but – it put up good points because you're getting the ball in the hands of your people, and so it's really good for fantasy. It doesn't really always translate.
They're
going to
be
NFL,
a huge fantasy team.
Kind of the players to watch on offense, Kyler Murray. They have him as like 89th overall, which is like eighth round. Sixth pick of the eighth round. Larry Fitz they have in the 102nd, so that dude's really fallen from grace. That's like
he's the ninth round.
Yeah,
but
that was kind of crazy to see how many people have put him, because he's been. I mean, I think I've had him on. He wasn't always a starter, but I've always had him on a team, and I can't even say that he's gotten out of the third round, and it might just be because everyone's got, you know, such when in my fantasy football leagues, everyone's got respect for him that they pick him up.
They just want him.
He's such a safe bet. You know, he's gonna put up numbers.
He's so consistent.
You know, he might have this huge end of the career breakout season and put up a ton of points, but
he's not putting up 40 points, but he's gonna get you 18 to 20.
He's gonna have 10 catches and 80 yards every game.
And they're saying that they're like in the training camp, he's getting targeted a ton. So
yeah, I think in the ninth round for Fitzgerald, I think is a very good pick. I think he's not gonna be your number one receiver, but I think that's a very safe flex option.
Right.
In fantasy.
David Johnson, they have him fifth overall.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's huge respect for a guy who was underutilized and did not do what he should have done last year. That's
he's going to be bigger.
Huge.
I think he definitely could be a number one running back this year. Absolutely. In fantasy football.
Definitely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, I think they just had like I think it might have been even just Gurley that was really over him. I don't think there was a whole lot of.
I think it's all running backs usually the first like six picks,
right?
And so it's like. Zeke, who's holding out. Melvin Gordon's holding out.
Well, and that's what McCaffrey. It was with those basically with
Alvin Kamara,
Zeke, and so yeah.
So he's probably gonna go sooner.
Really, you take Zeke out of it, that puts him at like four.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even have Gordon in here.
No, yeah, Gordon's around. He's in the top 10, but some people do him higher. But I think DJ could even go third.
Gordon's gonna be beast
very
this
safely.
Year, though. Let's see, and then Kirk. I think we have him over 82nd overall. The other ones to just kind of watch that I liked was Isabella, which we've talked about, you know, in length, and then the tight end Clay. I think he's gonna be a giant kind of breakout. And then depending on whether or not you have, you know, you play defense on your fantasy football, there's a lot of guys that are going to show some pretty decent numbers on that end, like we talked about with having Chandler Jones and Suggs and the new sign that we had with Phylon from the Chargers, Byron Murphy. They're all kind of poised to have some pretty good seasons. So and then having that 3-4 scheme that they're planning on a run
going back to.
Yeah,
I know they're all excited about that. I heard a lot of the I think it was Patrick Peterson said he's pumped for the 3-4 defense.
Yeah.
And then I really like Christian Kirk in the seventh round. I think that's way undervalued. He's definitely going to be the breakout number one receiver for this team. So get a number one receiver in the seventh round.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's like the number one breakout player.
He could definitely
of the league this
be year. A top 10 receiver with this offense for sure. And then Kyler Murray, a lot of people don't take quarterbacks early. Like there's like Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers are usually like the first three of five quarterbacks taken. And I think Kyler Murray definitely could be, he's going to be a huge fantasy scorer. So I think if you really want a good mobile quarterback, eighth round for Kyler Murray is, I think, a gold spot. I think that'll be really good. And then I think Keyshawn Johnson will be a good third. If you need like a super, if you're at a super deep fantasy league, he could definitely fill a spot down there. I think he'll be the main rookie.
Yeah, there's a lot of rookies that are going to come into play that are going to have some big breakouts.
Yeah, it's pretty crowded in that receiver core. Unfortunately, but I think somebody
granted, no one should give any love to the Cardinals. We were last year, we were 32nd in total offense, 32nd in pass, and 32nd in rushing.
Yeah, there's no reason
so
anybody should be high on the Cardinals.
And then even on our defense, we were 20th total, 32nd in rush. Against the rush, and right. We're fourth against the pass, believe it or not.
Oh, we're very good pass defense. Yeah. Our rush defense sucked, but
and our best DB's out for a
few. Right. So that's the thing. So nobody could pass on us, but that threat's neutralized for the first six games. Right. So.
But I just have the biggest man crush on Kyler Murray. I love him.
This has nothing to do with anything that we're currently talking about, but his name just popped up on my computer. Did you guys see that Le'Veon Bell came out with a formal apology?
Yeah,
to
for fantasy. Yeah,
you don't apologize.
I know. But because in my fantasy, I was like the fourth pick, and it was like him or DJ. I was like, I don't know if Le'Veon's coming back, so I took DJ, and that still freaking sucked because DJ was in the worst offense ever.
See,
that was funny.
I was number,
I'm high on Le'Veon now.
I was number two or three last year, and I was pissed that I wasn't picking him. And because he went first overall in one of my leagues.
Yeah.
And I was like, dang it. Because he was so lights out the year before that. And I was like, yeah. And he sat on that person's bench the entire, because I think they just held out the entire thing. Yeah. Like, they'll sign.
They'll sign. No worries. No, yeah. I'd never draft somebody who's holding out. It's not worth it.
Well, I did it with Crabtree way, way, way back in the day.
Crabtree was so good.
And he ended up signing and playing and ended up turning out to be a big thing.
He's solid, yeah.
But
he's not even on a team right now, I don't think.
No, yeah. When he was holding out with the Niners.
The Niners.
I picked him up and just sat him on my bench, and then he signed and I put him in and he was lights out.
Right.
But yeah, Cardinals, like I don't even know how to score these guys in terms of it. Like I said, they're either going to be
explosive.
3-13, yeah. Or 13-3. I don't think
there's not much room in the middle.
Look what the Chiefs did with just one quarterback. Like Chiefs, I mean, they weren't a great team. All of a sudden, Patrick Mahomes comes, great quarterback, and I mean, got close to winning a Super Bowl. I mean, who knows what the Cardinals will do with all this?
There's definitely hope, and you can see that around. There's a lot more hope that people have had in the Cardinals this current season than they've had. Because for the longest time, everyone's been indifferent. Like, I hated the Carson Palmer signing, and I know that's a very unpopular opinion because everyone's like, Carson was amazing, and I wasn't even a really big fan of the Kurt Warner signing because I was like, why are we keep signing the has-beens?
He's old.
Kurt Warner was a great sign. Carson Palmer, he was fine. He did the job, but like, it's fine. I'm really excited to see that we've like stopped going after this. Like, let's go find this veteran leader that's gonna, you know, we can basically like write a movie to where like,
right.
He comes back from his final couple seasons and rallies this team that
get another
couldn't win a game. Yeah, yeah. Like, and like, I'm just glad we're going after some like young blood, even if it is a risky move. Like,
right.
Let's go find that new guy that's going to change the game, not the one that's holding on to.
Right.
Well, if you look at what the Cardinals have been doing the past few years, that's exactly what it's been. Hold on to Larry Fitzgerald as tight as we can. Don't let him go. He's our only hope.
Right.
So they're like, let's get these old guys surrounding him that have the same mindset, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. That's my only thought about it.
Right.
I just, our quarterback, I don't know what it is. I don't have an answer, and I'm not a quarterback aficionado, so I don't try to, but like, I hate everything that we've done in the last like 10 years.
I know. I've been wanting to be a Cardinals fan for so long. Like last year, I was ready. Soon the draft comes out, I'm going to be a Cardinals fan. But then they take Josh Rosen. Like, geez, the last person I wanted them to take was Josh Rosen. I was like, all right, I'm not a Cardinals fan. I can't get behind Josh Rosen.
Even like Baker Mayfield would have been a better.
Oh, I love Baker Mayfield.
Except for his stupid mustache he has right now.
He can do whatever he wants. He's a stud.
But that was the thing. We moved up to go get freaking a better Rosen. Quarterback.
Yeah.
And granted, I mean, they obviously saw something in him, but like, I just hate those California quarterbacks.
I know.
I really do.
They're just so...
They never turn out very
they
well.
They don't. No.
No.
Because they're all stars in college and...
They're praised and worshipped in freaking Southern California. And then Josh Rosen throws a fit because it's like, oh, 9 teams passed me up and blah, blah, blah. I was like...
Which granted, like...
Dude, be so grateful you got drafted in the first round. Go show some love for Arizona. He trashed Arizona for a little bit. Just...
But granted, like...
Called out 50% of the population.
Rosen... I mean, that's kind of what, I mean, if you look at like, he was just copying like Peyton Manning and a lot of those other guys, Tom Brady, I think also did it. Like, basically, I think Peyton Manning told the Indianapolis Colts, like, if you don't draft me, I'm going to beat you for the next 16 years of my career. So,
right.
You know, I think there has to be, and that's what I've loved about Kyler so far is like, when he's asked about like the media, like, hey, how do you feel about, you know, the record of going, you know, the projection that you're going to go 13-3. And like his answer, it doesn't come off arrogant. It comes off as super confident, which I love because I think it would be really easy to come off cocky. Like if somebody asked me that, I guarantee you I'd come off super arrogant with like a lot of hubris and a lot of cockiness. But he comes off as like, oh, I really haven't thought about losing, and
I don't plan on it.
I don't plan on it. So,
well, they asked him, so you've won a lot in your football
career.
He's
only lost 2 games ever.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about losing a game?
Not planning
on it. He's like, I haven't thought about it.
Yeah.
Not planning on it. As soon as I heard that, I was like, all right, they're winning every game.
Well, and that's the thing. I'm changing it. But that's the.
That's what you need.
That's a problem that I feel Arizona sports has is they get in this losing culture, whether it be ASU, whether it be the Coyotes, whether it be the Cardinals, whether it be the Suns. Like
U of
the
a
Suns
too.
Are in that same
big
thing. that was a given, so I was just gonna keep them in there. So just not to switch off topics, you know, but like the Suns, they're in the huge losing streak right now, and they don't know how to win.
Right,
and I feel like it's really easy to get into that losing mentality. And especially when you don't have guys like in a football team or coaches even that try and that are moving around and you have that same team that stays there, it's really hard to get that cancer cut out of your team where you're that, you know, that losing mentality. And it's really hard to bring someone in that just revamps this whole team. And I think,
right.
I think that's what Coach Kingsbury and Kyler Murray have done. I think that, and I think that's a reason that there's been this huge spread throughout like all Cardinals fans is like we have hope that this is going to be a great year and I think everyone in the back of their head also has some realism of like
right.
This could also be a freaking disaster and we'll know against the Lions whether it's going to be one or the other but
right.
I think just that little bit of hope is more than we've had going into any other season. I think it's more than anyone's even cared to have. You know, unless you're that diehard and you're ride or die with the Cardinals, you don't. I mean, you're like, cool, Josh Rosen, it's going to be fun.
Right. Larry's still here.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think everyone gets excited when Larry re-ups, you know, when he re-upped his
right.
contract. Sweet. Everyone was like, oh, great. Another year with Larry. But there's just been something about Kyler Murray that's kind of, I think, you know, lit the state on fire. In terms of.
Definitely. He's so like captivating. Like I haven't even checked in on like the Texans camp. Like I haven't read anything about the Texans or keeping up with them. I've just been so focused on everything Kyler Murray says and does, everything Coach Kingsbury says and does, everything all these players are saying, and just there's so much buzz and hype around him. And I saw like something like their social media interactions is up like 200%. So people are just really excited about what's going
on. And they're doing an amazing job at getting everyone excited with the least amount of information.
I know. Like, nobody knows anything.
I don't know how they're doing that, but I mean, it's great.
All everybody knows is air raid. That's all we know. We don't know what that's going to be.
I don't know how, like, nothing big has really come out. Like, any information has been leaked. Like, it's so quiet. They're so good at keeping it so quiet right now. It's like...
Right. I think everybody just expects it's just going to be big. They have the Heisman Trophy winner, just an air raid offensive mind in Kingsbury. So it's just fun. It's just fun to be a Arizona sports fan.
I mean, I'm hoping it's still fun in 6 weeks.
I think they'll be fun. They may not be as competitive as we want them to be, but I think it's building. It's going to be slow. It's going to be a slow burn.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see it going too wrong with Kyler Murray. I think the play calling may not be as great. I think Kingsbury is going to be more at fault than Kyler. I think Kyler's going to do everything he can, and Kingsbury may be the one coming up short. But this is his rookie season too.
I'm saying Kyler's going to make some mistakes. He's even admitted, you know, that there's you know, the pockets, or not the pockets, but the windows to throw in are a lot smaller than college. He's
faster.
Yeah, it's a lot faster pace. He's got to get the ball off a lot quicker. I think he's athletic enough to make that. But until you're going up against defensive backs and cornerbacks and safeties that are going at you 100% playing that, I don't think he's really going to get that. And so there's going to be picks. There are going to be interceptions. But I also think there's going to be like some big plays that, if this isn't a winning season, and I think those big plays are gonna kind of keep us engaged, at least for the next one. Like, it's gonna show some promise there that, oh, we just need to retool this. We just need to, you know, until.
Oh yeah.
But I don't know. It's gonna be an interesting season.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of healthy optimism is what I'm gonna call it from now on. Right. Everyone has that realistic record of what they're gonna go, but they know it's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, everyone's super optimistic. Even if it's 3 years down the line, I think everyone still has that end goal in sight. It's not so much about right now. And that's kind of sad thinking about Arizona sports. It's like, oh yeah, we'll be good eventually. We'll be good someday. But like, I don't know. Boom or bust this season, right?
Right.
Cool. So we'll jump. We'll pop through these next teams real quick, because I'd rather talk about the Cardinals all day long, but it's not a whole bunch to talk about without getting too repetitive. So, Little Ty was supposed to do the Rams, so I just wrote down some crap. I picked the Rams. I think they're about 8-8, 9-8. I think they're going to be second place in the division. I think they're going to take a big step back. The defense isn't nearly as good as it was, and just teams regress. There's no, like, half the NFL teams miss the playoffs. Like, teams who made it the year before don't make it to the next year. And I think the Rams will be one of those teams. I'm just going to go through some of these draft picks. Gurley's going in the second round. There's a lot of concern about his knee, his health. He'll be better off in the end of the season. So it may be worth taking him in the second round, late second round. Cooper Kupp's going in the fifth round. He's going to be their best receiver. He only played like 5 games and had like 6 touchdowns last year. So he's a red zone threat. He scores a bunch of touchdowns. And then Woods and Cooks are both going in the fourth round. Both of those receivers, when they're all healthy, finish in the top 20 every game. So they have their offense is a real threat, especially that's probably why the Rams are probably going to beat up a little bit on the Cardinals.
And they have the easiest.
They have an easy schedule.
Second easiest schedule, I think, but it is tied with the Patriots.
I even think Jared Goff's, he's the 11th quarterback in the draft, like ranked-wise. I think that's so low for him.
He's all these weapons. That's why he's so he's up there. But I think he's a system quarterback.
We've shown really good quarterbacks, you know, when Aaron Rodgers, you know, he's an amazing quarterback. No one's ever going to doubt that he's one of the greatest. But when his weapons are not working, when they're injured or out or not playing to their full potential – he does crap in fantasy, unfortunately.
Right.
So, and I mean, Goff's got amazing weapons.
Oh, yeah.
I think he should be higher than 11.
I think he definitely could be.
I think he should be like 6 or 7.
Yeah, he just doesn't make those plays that Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson and Kyler Murray's going to make, and just those more mobile quarterbacks.
And a big thing is you have Gurley.
Yeah.
That is true.
And Gurley,
if he can be healthy, he's a beast.
But Gurley steals a lot of those points because Gurley is a fantasy phenom.
They're never going to throw the ball on one in goal.
He hands that ball to Gurley, but unfortunately, you don't get credit for that.
Yeah, and I think with the Rams going to take a step back, they're not going to score as many points, so there's not going to be that much for everybody to take. So I think a lot of these players are going to take step backs from last year. I think Goff will probably be the best fantasy player on this team just because he has all these weapons available. I think everybody's going to take a step back because I don't think they're going to be as good as they once were.
Right.
This season before, I think there's a Super Bowl hangover too after that embarrassing slow beatdown.
Well, I think we mentioned it last week, but I think the Patriots kind of exposed.
Oh yeah, I like Sean McVay, so I think he could definitely figure it out if he's that good. He could adjust and get over that, but I don't know. We'll just have to see. All right, so from the NFC West to the AFC West. And this is going to be the most fun division, I think, this year. We got the Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos, and the Raiders, which aren't going to be that fun. But we'll start with Big Ty.
All right, Chargers. Big thing with the Chargers is Melvin Gordon. Obviously, mm-hmm. he's holding out right now, re-upping for he's not in camp right now, and so he's a beast. He's especially fantasy football, he's a fantasy beast, and so I think depending on whether or not they actually figure out his contract, which I can't imagine that they're not going to, because I don't want to say that he deserves it, because I think he still has a few, like, I think he's only like, he still has like 2 years on his contract.
Right. Same with like Elliott too.
Yeah. He's kind of doing his years. Zeke, but I mean, I for what he's putting out, he feels like he deserves more, I guess. And I kind of hate that kind of selfish mentality. But what that on the backside of it is Philip Rivers is even like, he was quoted the other day saying that he'd leave money on the table to try and get this deal made, because he knows, you know, Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers is another really good. He's solid. He's an okay person, okay quarterback. I've always liked him. I always thought he's a good leader. I thought he's always done a really good job on and off the gridiron to in terms of like performance. But he's not what he used to be. He's not what he was when it was. When he had LaDainian Tomlinson at the helm, and when he had I'm blanking on their old tight end's name.
Antonio Gates. Yeah.
So, and you know, so he's definitely lost a lot of his weapons, but I think that it's definitely going to be a decent season. They went 12-4 last year. They have some really really decent weapons this year. So they got Keenan Allen,
he's a beast.
Yeah, Justin Jackson is poised to have a really breakout year, especially if Gordon does hold out.
Right.
So Philip Rivers, they have round 9, pick 12, which, yeah, I get it. There's a lot of other better quarterbacks out there.
Yeah, so I'd hold off on that one.
And he's solid, so he's a good QB2. Kind of keep around for your buy one, but there's a lot of times when I've had him on my bench and he'll outperform. I think it's just a matter of who you're
playing.
Who
the defense is that they're playing.
And then they got Tyrod Taylor as their backup.
All right, yeah, good luck.
Right. So Melvin Gordon, they have him as round 2, pick 4.
Which, even holding out.
Yeah, and which I kind of think that's. I think he's a better running back than that, but
yeah, I think normally he's going in the top 10. Like, he's going in the first round, but people are kind of afraid to take him. And I still think second round's kind of a risk.
There's a lot of, to get him. There's a couple places though that I've seen where they have him like sixth overall.
Yeah.
So obviously this holdout's affecting his status a lot, because there's a couple where they had him either right before or right after David Johnson. So let's see. What I'm really worried about though is with a lot of those guys, they haven't really done a whole lot with their offensive line, and they were last year they were 31st in pass, their offensive line was, and 17th with the run block. So it doesn't give Phillip a whole lot of time to get the ball to the areas where they need to, which makes it why their running game is so important to him, which why I think right. they're running, you know, why Gordon feels like he needs to be paid. But I also have heard the argument with Melvin Gordon that he might be holding off for the same reason like Le'Veon Bell did. Actually, he's in the last year, and so he's holding off to try and save his body, because, you know, what's been showing is when they pay these guys all this money and they're in their last year, they run them into the ground and they get hurt.
Right.
So he might be holding out. I've heard things that they might be holding out just for to not play this year.
Right. And take that chance on a second contract with a different team.
Right.
I know running backs get beat down. So mm-hmm. they have a quick, I think they're definitely the quickest turnover in the NFL. So they're like the average, like career's like almost 3 years. I think running backs, it's like one. Like, I think most running backs are just in and out, and they're fairly replaceable. So, like, right. a running back holdout doesn't usually work. Like, Le'Veon Bell didn't get a huge contract. I don't think it was as big as he wanted it to be.
No. Well, and each of these college teams all have 2-3 running backs that rotate in every other play.
Right.
So there's so much of them.
There's a lot of committees.
Well, there's a lot. They just get hurt, so it's, and they're a lot closer in skill level, which.
Right.
Mike Williams, he's a pretty solid wide receiver. They have him going fifth round, seventh pick of the fifth round. He's a pretty solid in kind of a flex situation, or like a number two wide receiver.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And the other one that I have is Hunter Henry, their tight end.
Yeah.
He's a big boy. He's young, and he plays big up front. They have him sixth round, fifth pick.
Yeah, I like that. He was hurt last year too.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was the one Stephen A. Smith said he got hurt in like training camp, and Stephen A. Smith says, yeah, the Chargers can make a run with Hunter Henry, and it was like week six. It's like he's been out. He hasn't played all year. So that was funny.
Yeah. So I mean, I think it's pretty. So that puts him at 64th overall.
I like, especially if you miss out on Kelsey and Kittle, I think I really like Hunter Henry in the sixth.
That's a pretty up there score for overall for a tight end.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I mean they're solid. I think Chargers defense is lights out.
They got a good secondary. They
possibly have one of the best defenses in the NFL.
Yeah.
This next year, so the with Bosa, Melvin Ingram, Hayward, King, and then James, Derwin James. So all those guys, they were kind of hit or miss last year. They had some basically what they were lacking last year was a D tackle and a free safety, and then they had some injuries, obviously in with some of those guys that I just named. But they addressed the defensive tackle. They addressed with Jerry Tillery and a free safety they drafted in that Nasir Adderley guy, and they're supposed to be lights out for that. So I think they might have one of the in defenses best in the NFL, but I think in NFC West they're going to be hard to score on. So I definitely would say, you know, if you play with the defensive league, you want to pick them up. They were ninth total, ninth pass, ninth against the rush. Last
real
year
solid.
And
pretty good.
And that's with
probably
injuries,
right?
Injuries and some D tackles that they needed addressed. So
for sure. What do you have their record? What do you think the record's going to be?
I think they're probably going to be. I mean, it's hard to say if they have Gordon or not, but they were 12-4 last year. I kind of think they'll probably do something around that same. I think maybe even like a. Maybe even like 11-5 or 10-6, something like that.
I could see that.
I don't think that they're gonna.
They started really slow last year.
Yeah, I don't think the games they lose are gonna be blowouts.
No.
I think they're gonna be really close games.
They'll be in.
And I think they're gonna have a lot of low scoring games, so I think it's gonna put the pressure on the offense to put points on the board.
For sure.
So, yeah, I think they're definitely gonna have a winning season. It's hard to say how many. There's a big variable there with their running back situation, because Justin Jackson I don't know how good of a
right, and they got a little other guy, Austin Eckler. He's most like a pass catcher, so
yeah
I think Gordon makes that team a lot better, but I don't know. Let's see. All right, Marlon, hit us.
All right, so the other reason I think I got crappy teams, I got the Oakland Raiders. The only
you
one
got a bad draw, dude.
Worth anything on this team is Antonio Brown.
He's a stud.
But with Derek Carr, I don't know if he'll be able to score really that many fantasy points. Speaking of earlier, the Southern California quarterbacks that are great in college and then go to the NFL, I'm not a Derek Carr fan.
Who is?
But yeah, their defense is ranked 31.
Yeah, they don't have a good defense.
They have Brandon Marshall, Quentin Bell on their defense, but I mean, I there's just nothing to do with this team. I have them going 5-11, being very generous, probably 4-12.
Right.
But
that's fair.
Yeah, that's the Oakland Raiders. Josh Jacobs, running back.
He's a rookie, so you can't really go off anything.
Yeah, he might be flex. I mean, I don't know.
Right.
They're definitely last in their division. They got nothing.
Yeah, I think that's very safe to say. Cool. And I got pretty lucky. I picked the Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl, so that's why I'm doing the Chiefs.
Yeah.
That's exactly. I told you guys we were gonna pick our Super Bowl teams. So I got the Chiefs. I wanted to put the Chiefs undefeated through the season. But that's hard to do. I put 14-2. And that's generous. I think I gave them a loss to, I think the Patriots. I think they play the Patriots. And so I was like, maybe the Patriots get them. But I don't think Patrick Mahomes can be stopped. He's just such an animal. Threw 50 touchdowns. Even if he has an off year, I think an off year for Patrick Mahomes is 42 touchdowns.
Sophomore slump.
This was his sophomore year last year. He was not a rookie last year.
I know.
That was his sophomore year. So there's nothing. And especially now that Tyreek Hill's not suspended, say whatever you want about that, but he's playing. He's a beast. He's a top five receiver all day. You still got Travis Kelce, who's gonna just the best tight end in football. And then the running back situation is a little weird with Damian Williams, but I still think any running back on that team's gonna get you. They're gonna do what he needs to do. Their defense is pretty weak. They signed Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, at safety. But I don't know. I don't think they have anybody. Honey Badger don't care. He's a good pickup, but I just don't know who else they have on defense that will do that. But they just need to not give up 40 points, really, because the Chiefs are going out scoring 45 points a game this year. But Mahomes is going third. He's usually the first quarterback off the board. he was it's kind of weird. People don't like taking quarterbacks, I guess because it's a one-position group usually. But 13 of the top 15 scorers in fantasy football last year were quarterbacks. So, if you get Patrick, if you want to take Patrick Mahomes and take a gamble that he's going to be healthy all year, he's going to win you a league. I think if you pick up Patrick Mahomes, you're going to be in your league's playoff for sure. I think he's just that special of a player. Damian Williams.
Why don't you and Patrick Mahomes get a room?
Jeez. I want to. I will. I'll move to Kansas City. I love him. P. Holmes, baby. And then Damian Williams, he's going in the second round. I think that's a very good value pick, especially if you want to go, if you get a receiver first round, you could definitely take Damian Williams second round. Kelsey's going two, and he's like in the same spot as the quarterback. He's a one position group. So if you want to take the gamble that Kelce's going to be healthy all year, you can definitely take him. He's going to get you points. He scores touchdowns. I think he was almost the leading receiver last year for that team. Tyreek Hill's going in the second round. I think that's a little inflated because nobody knew about his suspension or not. So I think he's probably definitely a first-round pick. So you're probably going to get unlucky with that one. And then Sammy Watkins going in the eighth round. I wouldn't touch Sammy Watkins with a 10-foot pole. I just don't think he's any good. He's not going to do that much. He's the wide receiver two, but he's really like the wide receiver three. It's a term of like pass catchers.
So you're saying you don't feel the same way about him that you do about Patrick Mahomes?
I don't feel the same way about anybody same way about Patrick Mahomes.
Got it.
Maybe Kyler Murray, but not Patrick, not Sammy Watkins.
Shout out to Reagan.
Shout out wife.
Hashtag Reagan.
All right. And then Little Ty had the Broncos. I picked them going 5-11. I didn't do any research into them. Emmanuel Sanders, Cortland Sutton are their two receivers. Sutton's going in the ninth round. I think that's a pretty good pick for a wide receiver one. Phillip Lindsay, I thought he was going to be the top two or a top second round. But he's actually in the fourth round, so I don't mind that. He's not going to have as good of a season as he did last year. But I think Royce Freeman in the eighth round is going to be a better option for you down the line, I think, than Phillip Lindsay will be. I think he'll end up taking the majority of the snaps, especially in the red zone.
If you're one of the last teams to pick up a defense, they'll probably be there. They're number 10 for defenses. So not bad, but they're not good. So
definitely back. You still got Von Miller back there. But I don't think Joe Flacco is going to do anything. He's he's pretty irrelevant. I'm not high on Joe Flacco,
but he did have that one season with Baltimore.
Oh yeah, is Joe Flacco elite? I remember that was the big talking point of the year. He's not elite.
The answer is no.
All right, boys, we'll go to the NFC North. NFC North. We will wrap this little segment up. What? Who wants to start?
I'll go first. So this is the only decent team he gave me to talk about today. I got the Packers. Their defense is at 11. Rashawn Gray, Josh Jones, Joshua Jackson. So they got some good defensive players out there. Fantasy football purposes, everybody knows of Aaron Rodgers. He's always up there. He's at ranked number 9 right now as the quarterback in fantasy football. He's got a few weapons, but not as many as I feel like he's used to.
I think he has more weapons this year.
You think so?
Compared to last year.
Davante Adams.
He's a stud.
He's a freak.
Huge stud.
He's a stud.
He's going to get most of Aaron Rodgers' points, I feel like. He's number 2 for receivers. Then it drops down to Jamal Williams. He's the running back. I think he's the next biggest threat with maybe even Jimmy Graham.
I think Aaron Jones is going to be the biggest. Yeah,
I have Aaron Jones. He was another one.
I think he'll be a big threat this year, too.
But I have the Packers predicted at 12-4. They have some easy games, some tough games. I feel like their schedule is pretty well made to where they're pretty even out with these good teams, bad teams kind of thing. So they get good breaks when they need the breaks and played some team, but then they do have those good teams that they still have.
Yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers is going off, especially now that big Mike McCarthy's gone. I think he can finally relax and enjoy it because they hated each other.
Yeah. I don't know. I think he's past his prime.
They start out the season with the Bears, which I think is a big game.
Fun game.
It will be a fun game to watch. But then they have like the Vikings, Broncos, Eagles, Cowboys, which, I mean, all those aren't super busy games. But then they go up with the Lions, have a break with the Raiders, Chiefs, Chargers, Panthers, 49ers, Giants. So
they could definitely make a run for sure. I think it will be definitely between them and the Bears. to win the division.
The Bears.
Speaking of the Bears, Little Ty was supposed to get the Bears, but Little Ty's not here.
I would have talked the entire time in that accident. giving me the Bears. So, you guys missed out.
I know. Well, you got a crappy team. So
I got the Vikings, and I'm not doing that accent. So
Do a Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Anyway, the Bears. You got Mitch Trubisky going to his third year. I see him as Jared Goff too. He's not that big of a playmaker. He struggled throwing to his left. He's definitely more mobile than Jared Goff, but I don't see him making that big of a leap but being that big of a stud. They drafted David Montgomery. He's going to be their running back one technically, and he's going in the fourth round. But Tariq Cohen's probably going to get more overall touches and more yards than him. I just don't see them taking anything away from Tariq Cohen this year. He's just a fantasy stud. He's catches more passes than he runs, but he's a red zone threat. He's just slippery, tiny little guy. And their main target's Allen Robinson going in the seventh round. They don't have too many receiving threats, but their defense is probably top three defenses in the league. They definitely compete with the Chargers for the best defense, for sure. But they'll be fun to watch. Little Ty had them go to the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl. Yeah, they'll definitely be good. That division's really weird because I feel like any one of these teams could win the division. The Lions, not so much, but I think you could argue for the Lions to win the division, but yeah, either one of these teams could win 10 games.
Yeah, I'm taking the Bears for that division.
All right, Ty, let's hear about the Vikings.
Oh, the Vikings.
Oh, the Vikings, eh?
If you rely on Viking when you're doing like Viking fantasy and you don't, you just stop there, you get some really cool like fantasy like artwork and stuff. It's pretty cool. It has nothing to do with football. Just a bunch of hairy guys with helmet, you know, big, horns on their helmets and
big
stuff.
Big beards.
All right. Vikings are very underwhelming. They do have a okay. I'll call Kirk Cousins an okay quarterback. Not a huge fan. They have him ranked 12th in terms of quarterbacks. They have him going at 142nd overall, which is 12th round, 10th pick. But what they do have is they probably have one of the arguably the best pair of wide receivers in the game in Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs.
He's crafty.
They are
crafty. Yeah, Adam Thielen, white receiver's always just crafty.
He's crafty. He's athletic. He's crafty.
He's crafty.
Right. Between those two guys, they have Thielen is 6th overall and Stephon Diggs is 13th overall. Then after that, they kind of fall off with like a Treadwell and those guys. They fall off into like 100 plus.
Right.
But they got them going 31st and 39th for those two. So definitely some, if we can get the ball in the hands of those guys, they're definitely gonna put you some huge points. Diggs I've had in multiple fantasy football leagues in the past, and he's always been a good 20-plus point guy as long as they can get the ball in his hands. But he's pretty consistent. Dalvin Cook, they have him going second round, third pick, so 15th overall, so they do have some running game there. And then Kyle Rudolph for a tight end. I think they said they had him in like the 10th or 11th round. He's 8th as a tight end. But Dalvin Cook, unfortunately, he's super good, but he's injury prone, and they don't have any kind of depth after that. So the Vikings, other than their wide receivers, I think are gonna. They were 8-7-1 last year. They have Mike Zimmer, who's a hard nosed, tough offensive coach. I think he's. I don't see him repeating an 8-7 this year. I think we're more like gonna be. I don't know, like a 5-10, 6-9. I don't think that they have the tools on any side of the ball. Their defense actually, they did have a decent defense last year. I think they averaged like 196 yards passing and then like 113 yards rushing on them. So like, nobody moves the ball on them.
Yeah, they have a good secondary with Harrison Smith and Xavier Howard.
Well, and they're keeping everyone except for, they got rid of Sheldon Richardson, but everyone else basically from their starters is the same. So
yeah,
I think it's going to be another. They got to put points up on the board. Unfortunately, I don't. Other than, you know, their two receivers, which I don't think when you don't have any depth on the run game, it's easy to shut down receivers.
Right.
You know, you have that 1-2 punch and you can throw to one or the other, but cornerbacks are so athletic nowadays that they stick and they cover them so good that it's hard. So,
for sure.
And if you can't, if they don't have Dalvin, if he's going to get injured at all this season or isn't playing at 100%, it doesn't keep the defensive honest and they can just, you know, they're going to have to go to the air and that makes for a bad combo there. So yeah, I don't see the Vikings doing a whole lot this year. Like I said, I think they're probably going to be like a I'm going to go 6-10.
I think that's pretty fair. I think they're probably definitely the third best team in the division. And I had Adam Thielen last year and he was hot for like 9 games. He had like over 100 yards in each of those 9 games, and he just fell off a cliff. And he was only getting like 40 yards a game. So a little frustrating because I was in first place up until then.
But I don't know. Whatever. Looking at their schedule, it seems like they have a pretty easy schedule, actually. And I don't see – there. I mean, there's definitely teams that are going to kick their butt. But I see a lot – especially like the first half of the season – Bills, Falcons, Packers, Raiders, Bears, Giants, Eagles, Lions, Redskins. Majority of those, are a win.
I think they're going to have a hard time with some of those.
Yeah, I think just NFC North, they're just going to beat up on each other. I think they're all just so big and tough and defensive-minded that they're just going to beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah.
All right, go on to the Lions. I got the Lions. They just signed Mike Daniels, who just got cut from the Packers. And that makes one of the Lions' defensive line pretty good. They got Damian Harrison, A'shaun Robinson, Trey Flowers, and now throwing Mike Daniels in there. And they got a pretty good shutdown corner in Darius Slay. And Patricia. What's his first name? We've been doing this too long. Patricia. He was Belichick's right hand man down in New England. This is his second season as the head coach. Matt Patricia. There you go.
Matt Patricia.
And he's definitely a defensive mind, so they got the defense to do it. But their offense isn't that amazing. I think Matt Stafford's one of the more underrated quarterbacks. I don't think he's top 5. I think he definitely could be a top 12 quarterback. Yeah, I think generously I gave him 7-9. I'm thinking more 6-10 now that I'm thinking about it. But they did just release Theo Reddick. He was their supposedly running back 1. But now Kerryon Johnson, he's going in the 3rd round. So he's tremendous value for a starting running back. He had a lot of pop last year. He didn't play the whole season. I think he was a rookie. But he was one of the more efficient running backs. He had 5 touchdowns, over 800 combined yards. That means he's definitely involved in the passing game. So that keeps him in the game when they're losing. And their number 1 receiver is Kenny Galladay. He's going in the 4th. He had 5 TDs and 1,000 yards receiving last year. So he's definitely a pretty good target. They don't do too much with the tight end. They just drafted one. And then Marvin Jones is their number 2. He's going in the 8th. He had 5 touchdowns too, but didn't have nearly as many yards or catches as Kenny Galladay. So I'd hold off on Marvin Jones for sure. All right. Well, that was a little bit of a breakdown. We'll try not to. We'll try to.
Do you guys get all that?
Yeah, seriously. We'll we'll schedule this notes. Way better than we did this week. We'll try to touch every team before the season starts. Then we'll do just kind of like an overall season we could talk about earlier, March Madness type thing. And then I think around week three preseason, we'll definitely be way more Cardinals than we were today. There's just not much to talk about besides training camp and just because nobody knows anything. It's so hard to talk about the Cardinals.
We might not know anything week three of
preseason. Yeah, I was going to say.
That'll
give us the
Kingsbury
most.
Kingsbury said they're bringing a vanilla offense into preseason.
Yeah, I think that's definitely expected, and I applaud it for sure. I'm down. All right, boys. We're out. Have a good weekend. Don't do anything too stupid. Go buy a Kyler Murray jersey.
Stay classy, Arizona.
Stay classy, Arizona. All right, bye.